Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23, if you would, please. We have been in a study of Jeremiah, and in particular, we spent a little bit here in chapter 23 and verse 20, because Israel, Jerusalem, Judah have set their heart very hard against God, against having any hope, settling in their mind that the priests and false prophets, their kings, their leadership, and the crowd loved it so, remember, the people did. And therefore, Nebuchadnezzar's on his way down, going to level the city and the temple. But that isn't in their head and heart. And God has told it for them, to them, for all these years, Josiah all the way down through the four kings. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and they've set their heart, and God said, and he levels his case against them in verse 20. And the anger of the Lord shall not return. God's going to finish his wrath and his anger until he have executed, until he has finished off, until he has performed that which he said was going to happen. Now, and the reason it was going to happen, until he have performed, completed the thoughts, the intent, the plan, the purpose, the meditations of his heart, in the latter days, God's going to finish what he started, as he always does. And the last part of verse 20, you shall consider it perfectly. And we share together the verb, you shall consider, is reflexive. That means what? It means that they themselves are going to do whatever the verb is. And the verb means to perceive, to understand, to put together the pieces. You yourselves are going to understand, perceive, and then you have the next word, perfectly, which is the noun of the same verb, perfectly. You're going to understand with understanding. Now, God told them all that was going to happen and spelled it out in very clear words, but they didn't want to see it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to understand it. God said, listen, I guarantee in a few years, not even a few years in this case, just in a few, little bit of time, you are all going to wonderfully understand, because you're going to look at a burning city and a ruined temple, and you're going to know it. You deny everything, deny it ain't going to happen, but it is. You'll never die. Well, you can't do it that way. He'll never die, and he dies. If you died, you couldn't talk about it, understand? It's just going to be. You're just going to know reality. Reality is real, but we understand things, but we don't really understand what we are understanding. That's the little verb and the noun. Now, having said that, and in the light of all that we have done on this, just to understand, because if you don't understand something, what good's it? You read it till you're blue in the face. It doesn't mean a thing. You go right by it. In fact, we could read the whole chapter 23, go all the way to 30 and advance. In one night. But do you understand anything? What good did it do you when you walk out the door? Because you got to go live with this. It's what you're supposed to do. Therefore, to perfectly understand. Now, keep in mind, if you would, God wants you to understand. Very much so. I want you to just think, if you would. Think if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, and they hadn't sinned, and they were what? Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. They were to rule the earth. Now, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, This would be a whole nother, there wouldn't be the nations. There'd be all these great animals running around, and you would be the boss of the whole thing. God gave the earth for people, humans, to rule it, to manage it. That's what he gave it for. Sin came along and the devil took over. Now, keep in mind also, there's the word stewardship, the biblical word, underlined biblical, dispensations, which means household manager, means management. That we believe, we not believe, it has nothing to do whether we believe. The Bible says what it is. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. So now, the dispensations, they're all there. They're all stewardships, the law and grace and all of that. Israel, the church, all of those dispensations, they're stewardships, human stewardships. They could have had one massive stewardship if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. Now, having said that little bit, and here we are looking out at our world around us, which is very volatile and not very stable, to say the least, and very unstable. And as we look out, global conditions are there, and we look at our world around us, and do we understand it? Now, Israel looked out, and they didn't want to understand. And to make it worse, Israel was given huge, awesome promises. They were to be the prized nation. They were to be the privileged nation of all nations. And their nation, their job was to be the example and witness to all of the nations that then that would exist. You know what? They never understood that. They never wanted to understand that. And they lived with what they did. They lived with what they did and how they did it. Now, they had all of that to understand. That was real. Your future is real. How much does the reality of tomorrow govern now? And the trouble is, we all are here, and we're all going to die, and we can even think about it, which is fine, but the average one of us didn't get in the car and say, now I'm going to die. You don't think you're going to die, do you? We'll hurry and speak if you're going to die. You don't think that. No, you don't. You don't want to think that. Understand, nothing wrong with it. It's just you don't want to think about it. But it's true. Real. And so reality is a problem to understand. And we understand reality, the news and the newspaper and the whatever's going on, we understand. But we really, for the most part, realistically, objectively, do not have understanding of what we think we understand. Therefore, as we proceeded, we shared together that Daniel, using Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Habakkuk, Nahum, Zephaniah, all these people are living during the days of Nebuchadnezzar, during Jerusalem, as it were. And they're the prophets. Do they understand? Oh, they do. But the people don't want to hear them or understand them. They don't want to understand Ezekiel over in Babylon. They don't want to understand Daniel. They just don't want to understand. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, they do. Now, here we are. We're here, and God, you want us to understand. In fact, you say it. I call you friends, more than friends, because John 15. I want you to understand what I understand. Think of that. I want you to understand what I am understanding. I want you to have that in your head and heart. I want you to, how can you be my branch, my body? How can you walk with me if you don't understand what I'm doing? So, God, you want that. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can take all kinds of ways, page after page, if you like, and show it. Now, having said that, though, We shared together about Daniel, and Daniel was given understanding, no question. Daniel opened the God's Word. God's Word was given to us for understanding. And God is, we're in the presence of God to understand the Word of God. And as we look at the Word of God, we're in the presence of the God who right now, there is no time out there. All of this, Nebuchadnezzar's coming down to take Jerusalem. And you and I are in the presence of the one who is witnessing it. And here we are reading it in time. Now, don't try to grab all that. That's for real. That's why when you read your Bible, you're talking to God who has all of your yesterdays all at once and all of your tomorrows all at once. And when you're talking to him, he's able to go and you're looking to him. That's why you get so confident, so comfortable, so competent, because of God. You're talking to God. Wow. Now, so here's and we shared about Daniel, and Daniel had God's word. He had Jeremiah. He read Jeremiah, in fact, as we shared last time in Daniel chapter 9, etc. And Daniel understood, but there was a limit. Daniel chapter 12, as we shared, Daniel could only understand so much. And God said, seal the book, that book of Daniel, until you have revelation coming up in the future. And it would stop. So God, you want us to understand, absolutely, without taking all the time to verify that. You want us to understand, absolutely, absolutely. It's nice to have little children. And they're gooing and garring and everything is wonderful. But when they're 30 years old, if they're still gooing and garring, are you very happy with that? Aren't you gooed up? Well, I mean, you had it. You want them to grow. I don't know anyone that doesn't want them to grow. To grow up, to be able to understand, to be able to, that's the whole point of growing up, is to be able to enter in to the adult world and hopefully in a good way. Now, here's Daniel. That's Daniel. And then we shared to remind ourselves all the different ways to understand. Need to understand the world around us? Absolutely. And we don't need to be stupid about it. We need to understand what's going on as best we can so that we understand and we're staying in reality and understanding Russia and China and Iraq and Iran and Syria and all of that. Now, having said that, we share together in Job, and you may want to turn there for a moment. And remember in the book of, we looked at Job. Now, why do we look at Job? Because Job had personal, it's personal. Daniel's looking out there in the light of the world he lives in the light of Israel. Job isn't looking out there. God, you want us to understand the world we live in? Absolutely. I want you to understand I want you to understand what I'm doing. So God, what are you doing with us? You're trying to help us grow up, develop, learn, understand, with understanding. Therefore, here's Job, the great, wonderful example in the book of Job. And you'll remember we shared in chapter 23 that Job is looking to God, and Job, I'm not going to read it all for time's sake, just to remind you what we did. And in I'm going to read 23, verse 5. 23, and in verse 5. Here's Job now. Remember, Job's got all of his problems many, many, many times over. Verse 5. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. In other words, I want to know. I don't want to know why this happened. I don't know why. God, I want to know. I want to understand what you're after. I want to understand what this is about so that I can participate, cooperate in what we're doing. I want to be able to participate with you. I don't want to be against you. I want to be with you. Now, therefore, chapter 23 and to verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. And there's your little word in chapter 8, I cannot perceive. I cannot perceive. I do not understand. I want to understand. But God, I don't understand. You're doing this, you're doing that. You took away my health. You took away my family, except my wife. You took away my money. You took away my animals. You took away my friends. You took away. Now, God, I just want to understand what you're after, God. I'm not after you. And remember we shared that last time, Job chapter 1 and that. Job wasn't about to curse God at all. No, sir. You don't open your mouth against God. Shh. Very quiet. You may not understand a lot of things, but don't. God cannot be anything but God. Always good. Always gracious to you. No matter how you cut the cookie. Now, therefore... So therefore, Job tries to get away, and we share together. He knows the way, and just verse 10 anyway. But he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me and put me to the trial. I shall come forth as gold. And then you go through as we read all of that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful words. And we slid down over to verse 14. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. So God, Job says what? You're doing all this because you have a wonderful plan for my life. That's correct. And what's happening to me now isn't the end of it. There's more to come. And Job knows that. So God, Job, I just want to understand. Verse 15. I therefore am I troubled at thy presence, in your presence, when I consider, the word consider is the same word, understand, you're looking at, to perceive, to understand. When I consider, perceive, understand, I am afraid. In other words, the more I get reality, oh boy, get a little shaky. Ah, yeah. When I really think about God, are you really going to do all that? Uh-huh. Are you really going to let Nebuchadnezzar level the city? I am. Are you really going to let the tribulation be as terrible as it is? Absolutely. Oh, wow. Now, therefore, verse 16, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off from before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. So here I am living, and I know it isn't going to go away, because God has a wonderful plan. And he's working on it. And he didn't ask the patient whether he wanted to continue or not. You just did it. And I shared that, all those different things. You know that. We had a little daughter, you know, they see, years ago in the hospital, and Dr. Howard, bless his heart, was there and had to go in the head with needles and stuff, you know. And Jeanette was there, and I was there. And the doctor said, you may not want to be in here now, but you know what? I'm going to finish what I'm doing. It doesn't matter whether she cries, doesn't cry. It doesn't matter what you think. I'm going to finish what I'm doing. It has to be done. God, you're going to finish what you start. Absolutely. But we may not like it. It isn't a question of that. Now, having said that, chapter 28. And Job is going to help us some more. And you will notice, please, chapter 28, and Job, remember his Job? He's looking for understanding, wisdom, and therefore, just picking out, can't do it all, because we'll never get... Anyway, verse 1. Surely there is a vein for silver, and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass, bronze, is molten. Brass is molten, and out of the stone. So here, God, and you go through all the list. Look at the whole world we live in, very objectively. all over the world, and look at the animals, look at the trees, look at the rocks, look at everywhere. Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? It isn't in the rocks. It isn't in the animals. Where are we going to get the understanding that's required? And you remember Ecclesiastes, without turning there, Revelation 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, God said, I put eternity in their heart. So that what? No matter what they do, they can't terminate. Sparrows, rabbits, they can. But you can't. Because God made you a spirit, soul and spirit, a person. And you know you're going to be long after you're gone here. You know that. God put it in you. Now, that why? Because you need to come to know him. You're only spending a few minutes here. How long do you think there is? And God tells us, is helping us, what? To understand. So Job, you put eternity in our heart so that we, if we leave you out, God, there's no way to put the pieces together. And if you read Ecclesiastes, as you know, that's what it's about. Now, chapter 28, where is the place of understanding? Verse 12, verse 13, man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the hand in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not in me. We're looking now, as we're reading, we're looking for wisdom. We're looking for understanding. So here we are, going to read all the books in the library, go to the Library of Congress, you're going to go and read all the books and try to meditate and think and talk to people for hours and years if you want. Now, Job, if anyone was ahead of the game, you were. And so Job says, listen, no matter what you do and where you look, you're never going to find wisdom and understanding. I'll just read a little more. Verse 15, it cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, or with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold of crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewel of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral, or pearls, or price of wisdom is above rubies. And the topaz of Ethiopia, etc. Verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? So far we haven't found anything. Looking everywhere, to the best of our ability. We want to understand. Here, question for you. Why was I born? Why were you born now? You could have been born in the Ming Dynasty. I like the Ming Dynasty. You could have been born in the Ming Dynasty. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you still here? Answer it. You can't. You can't answer it. You leave God out, you have no answers. You just don't have any. And I want to understand so that I can have understanding. Therefore, chapter 28, picking up please, verse 21. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of the all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air, the birds don't know. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. We've heard all the report about wisdom, but death and destruction say, we have no way to find it. We don't know how to answer death. We don't know how to answer destruction, ruin. Now, sliding down, verse 24. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven. He maketh a weight for the wind, and he weigheth the waters by his measure, the wind and everything. When he made a decree for the rain, a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declare it, and prepared it, yea, and searched it out. God, you're the one that did all this, and you're the only one that has understanding. You're the architect. You're the creator. Verse 28. And unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now go back up. You miss it. We didn't miss it purposely, willfully. Verse 23. Job, what did you say? There's your little word. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place where wisdom and understanding are. And wisdom and understanding are with God. God knows where to find it, and he's trying to help you and I know where to find it. With God. Leave God out. It ain't going to happen. No way, no matter what you do. No. So therefore, chapter 42. God, did Job, remember Job? Educated, getting educated. And in his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful graduation or commencement to the next part of his life, chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord, verse 1, and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I know that you're able to do anything and everything. You can do it. Verse 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I've been talking to you, God. Think of the book of Job, telling you all of these things. And God, I'm trying to struggle through it to understand. Verse 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood. There's your word, verb. I understood not. I didn't understand. I understood without understanding. What are you saying in Jeremiah 23, verse 20? In that day you will understand with understanding. It'll be real. It's a real thing. Now, therefore, as you know, in verse 4, hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, of the ear, and now my eye seeth thee. And therefore, I want a big crown on my head. No. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You are something else, God. Huh? And I wake up to the fact that God, we have in our hand on a Bible, and all of a sudden we begin to wake up. God, wow. 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 Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, over to where? Over to Proverbs for a moment. You know, Proverbs is loaded with the words, but just picking up a little bit of it so you see it. Proverbs chapter 2, and if I may, in verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Now, if you're reading, introducing all of this in the context, you're going to get it. God, what are you looking for? What did you say, Solomon? You need to have understanding. If anyone understood, you did, Solomon. Did you always have understanding? No. But boy, I understood things. No, ants, bugs, you name it. Stars, I could talk about anything. Understanding it, that's a little different. Now, in chapter 3, and in verse 5, you're familiar. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't be trusting yourself. Don't be doing that. Don't we do that? We trust our understanding. And our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, so I wouldn't trust my understanding. No, I'm going to trust God's word. As I ought to, and as we should. Now, chapter 8, all the way. Remember now, the wisdom in chapter 8 of Proverbs is the Lord Jesus Christ is personified. He's made as if he was wisdom. He is wisdom. Hang on to that. Now, therefore, when you read about wisdom, chapter 8, verse 5. O ye simple, understand, there's your word, wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. So I want you to understand. Now, and sliding over to chapter 9, just to get the movement, you can read it at your leisure and let it sink in. Chapter 9, verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. You don't want to be, you don't get a prize for being stupid and ignorant. You don't get any. You don't get one. You can keep going and pull it off any way you wish and get 3 doctorate degrees. You still don't understand. Now, therefore, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy, and little word the Holy there is Holy One. The Holy One is God, who has understanding, back over in Job. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, verse 10, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What did you say in Job? Understanding, the fear of the Lord is understanding. God has understanding. I know. God does. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, to get the idea from a New Testament little perspective, go with me, please, over to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians, what we're doing now, moving through time to where we are, and we have quite a different position than Job and Daniel did. Ephesians chapter 1, and picking up, please, in verse 18. 1 and 18. And you will notice the eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. I don't want to just say, well, I'm called. I want to understand why I'm called. I want to understand what it's about. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God's wonderful, wonderful, your prized, privileged. Wow. To God. Doesn't look like much. A vessel of clay. But not to God. Do you know, if you were a very good craftsman and you had some very fine clay or something, or a great piece of marble, and you were a craftsman, Michelangelo or something, and you know, you could see that stone, and when you look at the stone, you see David, you see a statue of David. It's just a stone, but you see David. Wow, uh-huh, I do. And then you begin to chip and bring David out of the stone. That's right. God, we're just a piece of clay, sinners, saved by grace. That's right. And what's valuable about it? Nothing. Except when I do a work with you and in you and for you, the piece of stone isn't just a piece of stone anymore, is it? The canvas isn't just a canvas. The artist, Van Gogh or something, has painted. Wow, that's right. Now, having said that little bit, God, you consider it valuable. That's right, I do. Over to Colossians. So then what are you going to say? Over and over to church, each assembly, you're going to tell them over and over again. Colossians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, this is a prayer, whenever you want to pray, pray God's prayers. Pray them. You want to don't say, take care of my wart or something. Talk about God's wonderful, wonderful word. Go way up. Don't go down in the gutter, down, way down. Get up there where God is and what he wants. And that brings all of the blessing down to the foot, down to the foot, to the feet. Now, verse 9. This cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will. How so? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So God, when we read about Jeremiah, and you will perfectly understand completely. You will understand perfectly when you see it. You don't have to wait to then. You could believe me. But if you don't want to believe me, wait till then, and you'll see it for yourself. Now, God, here we are, and you want us to pray for a wonderful plan that you have for our life before the foundation of the world, and that's what you're looking for. That's right. That's what you're looking for. I know it is. You said it, God. So now, in the light of that, so you want us to have understanding. But in having understanding, we need to understand Philippians and chapter 4. And we add to that, our understanding is being understood. Philippians chapter 4, what do we know? We aren't supposed to worry about anything, verse 6. But verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes, A-L-L, all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So therefore, you can't understand everything. You can't understand everything. I need to understand, but you aren't going to understand everything. You couldn't understand. That's why the Lord's going to say in John 16, in that, I have many things to say unto you, what you want. You can't understand them. You aren't in the place to understand them. You have to grow up and learn. Then you get understanding. You can't have calculus when you're in the third grade, usually. You just don't get it. So therefore, God, here we are. We want to understand. But this, God, you said it in Deuteronomy and all that. The secret things belong to God. But everything that God wants Israel to know, he'll tell them. Now, so here we are. You want us to have understanding. But we can't have all understanding. But we can understand where it comes from. Understanding belongs to whom? God. Understanding comes from God. Understanding is all about God. It's all about what he does, how he does it, when he does it, etc. So I want to understand that I am not going to understand God. All I can do is trust him. Therefore, 1 John. 1 John, if you would. John, you're going to write to us and make sure we know and understand. And you will note, please, 1 John chapter 5. Go right to the end and pick it up. God's going to put it out for us. And I'll read verse 13 even, just that you know all that, These things have I written, that's why we read them, unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may learn class 1, class 2, class 3. Not that kind of learning, that's not that word. It's a word intuitively. You know you're alive. Most of you. Do you know you're alive? You don't understand that intellectually. You understand that innately. You just know it. You just know it. That's the kind of knowing. Now, therefore, know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Sliding down to verse 20. And we know, what do we know? That the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Aha. What do we? Well, fear God and know God. And God, you are our wisdom and understanding. And I'll read the verse a little more thoroughly. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. That purpose, we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So God, that's what it said. It's all about you. Now, over, if you would, and as we tie it together, over to Revelation, right next door. Revelation chapter 1. I'm watching the snowflakes, so if it get a big blizzard, I'll warn you. But none yet. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, here's the word of God, we're reading it. Now, go to verse 2. The Lord Jesus Christ, who bear record of the word of God, and of the test of John, and bear record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Now, here's the testimony, the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know from John chapter 5 and verse 39, if you search the scriptures, what are you going to find? You'll find me. Search the scriptures, for in them you're looking for eternal life, and it's all about me. So here's your Bible, inspired, God's God-breathed word in the original languages, and here they are, and God is it. Now, what do I know about you? John chapter 1, verse 1. You are what, Lord? God the Son is called the what? The Word. And the Word, God the Son, took on human flesh, and the Word became flesh. What are you doing? I'm giving you an understanding of God's awesome person, the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus brings to us God. God, have you been doing it? I have. I've been giving you my word. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's his word. He is the fullness of that word. The Bible is his words in the original language. His words. Wow. Now, hang on to that. You got to get both sides of it. Chapter 19. And in chapter 19, you're reminded. 19 and verse 10. I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou not, do it not, I am thy bond fellow servant, slave, and of thy brethren that have the testimony. What do they have? The testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God the Son is the Word of God. The Bible in front of you in the original language is God, God's Word. Look at the Word, and you come back to whom? To God who gave it. Look to God, and back to the Word. It's all about his awesome person. And remember he said in Luke chapter 24 that to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, you are so slow of heart to believe what I've been telling you. I told you for 3 1/3 years I was going to rise again. Did anyone pay attention? Oh, so slow of heart. Verse 44. He opened the scriptures. Verse 44. All of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation are mine. They're about me. What do you mean? You're the Word. You're the wisdom. You're the understanding. In other words, I want to know about anything. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the alphabet. You're everything. Without you, God, we can't understand anything. Does that make sense to you? That's why God said, listen, when I tell you something, why don't you just listen and pay attention to me? Therefore, in closing, chapter 21. Well, better 22. The Lord Jesus Christ testifying to the end, whoever would hear his word. Now, therefore, when you come to the very end of God's word, don't add or subtract to it, verse 18 and 19. Then you come to verse 20. He that testifieth these things saith, now who's bearing testimony to his own word? He is. He is. He said, I want you to know what you read in Revelation 1 through 3, 16, 17, 18, 19. It's mine. I'm telling you it. I'm using John as the penman to write it. Well, now, For which he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come. Now, God, who said about you coming? He said, I said it. Who said you're coming? He said, I told him. I told you myself I'm coming. In my Father's house are many abiding places. I wouldn't bother telling you if it wasn't so. I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't waste your time. I am the Word, he said. The book you're reading is mine. It's about me. When you look to me, read the Word. When you read the Word, look to me. Because I give you understanding. I am the understanding. What did you learn? I understood. You take my title. Understand for your understanding. How do we do so? To know you, Job 23. To know you, the living and only God, who has understanding. And where is understanding? In the wonderful person of God. How am I going to understand anything and everything? In you, God. You are the fullness of all understanding. And all I have to do is know you. I don't have to know why it happened or how it happened or when it's going to happen. I don't need to know. I don't know not much, God. But to know you is to have a peace of God which what? Passes all understanding. So in understanding, you don't understand, but you have understanding completely, comfortably, that you don't understand. But in not understanding, you understand everything. Do you get that? You understand everything. In the God who understands it all. No.